And Balaam is going to come and bring our Bible readings to us.
Good morning. The Bible reading this morning, we have two books of the Bible we're going to read, Psalm 41 to 8 and Matthew chapter 13 from verse 1 to 9. And we're going to jump to verse 18 to 23. We'll start with Psalm 41 to 8. I waited patiently for the Lord's help. Then he listened to me and heard my cry. He pulled me out of a dangerous pit, out of the deadly quicksand. He set me safely on a rock and made me secure. He taught me to sing a new song, a song of praise to our God. Many who see this will take warning and will put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who trust the Lord, who do not turn to idols or join those who worship false gods. You have done many things for us, O Lord our God. There is no one like you. You have made many wonderful plans for us. I could never speak of them all. Their number is so great. You do not want sacrifices and offerings. You do not ask for animals burnt whole on the altar, or for sacrifices to take away sins. Instead, you have given me ears to hear you. And so I answered, here am I. Here I am. Your instructions for me are in the book of the law. How I love to do your will, my God. I keep your teaching in my heart. Matthew 13, 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside, where he sat down to teach. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it, while the crowd stood on the shore. He used parables to teach them many things. Once there was a man who went out to sow corn, and as he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, where there was little soil. The seeds soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it burnt the young plants. And because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some seeds fell in good soil, and the plants produced corn. Some produced 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus concluded, listen then, if you have ears. We move to verse 18 to 23. Listen, then, and learn what the parable of the sower means. Those who hear the message about the kingdom but do not understand it are like the seeds that fell along the path. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in them. The seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who receive the message gladly as soon as they hear it, but it does not sink deep into them, and they don't last long. So when trouble or persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. The seeds that fell among thorn bushes stand for those who hear the message, but the worries about this life and the love for riches choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. And the seeds sown in the good soil stand for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit. Some sow as much as 100, others 60, and others 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your words to us today. Lord, we pray that you will give us ears to hear and hearts and minds that are open to understand what you are saying and to put your word into practice. Lord, encourage us and inspire us and draw us nearer to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we began our new series with a story about radishes. If you missed it, and you want to know what radishes have to do with our autumn sermon series, then perhaps you can listen online, or maybe you can find someone after the service that was here last week. Find out if they really were listening, and see what the story about radishes really was about. Today, I'm not beginning with radishes. I'm beginning with this. It's an apple, but this is not just any apple. This is not even an M&S apple. This is an apple I've grown on my fruit tree. And I'm excited. 2 years ago, we bought an espalier apple tree. An espalier fruit tree is one of those that's trained to grow along walls or fences. And we were told, don't expect any fruit for a couple of years. Actually, last year it did produce some apples, but they were very tiny and they didn't look very appetizing. This year our tree has done very well. It's not even supposed to be ready until October, although I have been told everything is running a few weeks early this year. But beautiful sweet red apples. I know, I've eaten them and I am very excited. Now, a healthy growing tree like my apple tree grows and produces good fruit. In a similar way, the story that Jesus told about the sower and the seed tells us that if we are growing disciples of Jesus, then the fruit should be evident in our lives. We're going to look at the story in detail in a few minutes, but first of all, I want to take a quick look at the background to the story. We didn't read it today, but I encourage you when you go home to flip back a few verses to the end of chapter 12. This is what it says right at the end of chapter 12, the final few verses. Jesus was still talking to the people when his mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside asking to speak with him. So one of the people there said to him, "Look, your mother and brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you." Jesus answered, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants him to do is my brother, my sister, my mother." Immediately after that, verse 1, chapter 13, is what we heard today. Matthew says, that same day Jesus left the house and went to the lakeside where he sat down to teach. And what did he teach? The parable of the sower. Now that comment that Jesus made about his mother and his brothers, I think comes across as really quite shocking. But it wasn't said as an insult to his family. It was part of an ongoing conversation that was revealing the difference between the religious authorities and the disciples. The religious authorities, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were outwardly religious. They upheld the law to the letter, and they were legalistic in their behavior, trying to prove how righteous they were. And yet, these same people rejected Jesus. They refused to listen to his message about God's kingdom. And that message was actually at the heart of the law that they were supposedly following. Now, Jesus was making a distinction that a true disciple welcomes the message of the kingdom of God and follows Jesus by obeying him. Earlier on in Matthew's gospel, when he recounts Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew tells us that Jesus said, "You can only enter the kingdom of heaven if you are more faithful than the teachers of the law and the Pharisees in doing what God requires." Now, to the people listening, this must have been quite a statement. How could you be even more faithful, even more righteous than those teachers and Pharisees who were known for following the law to the tiniest detail? What else could you possibly do? The thing is, Jesus' statement wasn't referring to quantity, but to quality. He wasn't saying there were even more rules to follow. He was saying there was a better way to obey. And that way was to understand the message of Jesus and allow him to reign in your heart. As we heard earlier, the psalmist discovered, you do not want sacrifices and offerings. You do not ask for animals burnt whole on the altar or for sacrifices to take away sins. Instead, you've given me ears to hear you. How I love to do your will. How I love to do your will. The psalmist had got it years before the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Jesus wanted the people to grasp that what was required was an inward transformation. And that change takes place through obeying him. And as that takes place, that would lead to an outward change evident in a life that was being lived out for him. In other words, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had got it all wrong. They were doing things upside down. They were trying to prove their righteousness through their legalistic behavior. But their behavior should have been a reflection of their heart. Now, the parable of the sower further illustrated this, and it laid out a challenge to the crowds to see what they would do. Would they stick with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Or would they choose to follow Jesus, to obey him, and to allow him to transform their lives inwardly and then outwardly? Now, that same challenge addresses each one of us today. Every single one of us, whoever we are, every single one of us, however many times we've heard this story. Because for some of us, this is a familiar story. For some of us, it's a story that we've known since we were little. But I think this parable presents an ongoing challenge for us. I think in the past, when I've listened to this story, I've sometimes assumed that it's referring to a person's initial response to when they first hear the message of God's kingdom. And although this is the primary interpretation, when Jesus explains the meaning of the parable to his disciples, I think it reveals there's actually a continuous element to this story. The challenge is not just to hear and respond to God's message once by believing in him. It's to go on hearing, to go on responding, to go on obeying the message. That is discipleship, an ongoing journey with Jesus. And that's how we grow as disciples, by continually following and obeying, by continually listening to what God wants us to do, how he wants us to be, and putting that into practice. But as the crowds knew, and as the disciples went on to find out, that's a huge challenge for every single one of us, for every day of our lives. Let's take a moment to think about the details of the story that Jesus told. We know it as the parable of the sower. In actual fact, a better title would probably be the parable of the soil, because the essence of the story is about what makes good soil. In the story, the sower sows the seed, and the seed, we discover in verse 19, is the message of God's kingdom. Now, the seed is the same. It's all good seed. What's different in each case is the soil. Yet in 3 out of 4 of those cases, the seed begins to grow because the message of God's kingdom was heard and received. But only the last seed, Jesus tells us, grew well enough to produce good fruit. Now, Jesus explains that the middle two cases, where the seed grew at first but didn't bear fruit, was when either things got in the way and the message of God's kingdom didn't take priority, or when life got tough and the challenges or persecutions became too much so that somebody gave up on the promise of God's kingdom. Now, that was a real challenge to the crowds that were listening to Jesus' message at the time. You see, the people expected the arrival of God's kingdom to overpower the domineering rulers of the time. They were waiting for a powerful leader to arrive and bring radical change. They didn't expect Jesus. And as they listened to his message, and as they looked around them, what they saw was that the world in which they lived was pretty much the same as it always had been. Yes, they had heard good things. Yes, they'd even seen miracles. But Rome still dominated. Ruthless leaders still invoked fear, mistreated people, acted unjustly. There was still disease and hunger. People were still suffering. People still died. So where was this kingdom that Jesus spoke about? Where was this change that they were all longing for? Now, the reality is that a kingdom had come. It just hadn't come in all its fullness. And Jesus' parable was a reminder of the need to hold on to him in those difficult times. As Jesus spoke to the crowds, they couldn't grasp his message because they'd been focused on the kingdom of God based on the change that they would receive personally in their own lives. And because they couldn't see the results that they hoped for, that they wanted, they just missed the point of what he was saying. You know, they weren't the only ones. Even John the Baptist had questioned Jesus' identity because things weren't happening the way he'd expected them to. And when Jesus was arrested, his own disciples abandoned him because they hadn't understood that Jesus had tried to tell them this is what would happen. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that there will be times for all of us when it feels very much like we are on that rocky ground. Life hasn't turned out as we had imagined. We face suffering, illness, injustice. We see it in the lives of those that we know and love. Like John, perhaps we question, maybe we doubt who Jesus really is. Perhaps for a while, like the disciples, we even run away. But there is hope. Hope for us that, like the psalmist, when we wait on the Lord, we will discover that he is with us. And he will lift us up out of the pit and place our feet on a rock. Hope for us that, like the disciples found out, when we come back to Jesus, we will be forgiven and restored and able to carry on obeying him and trusting him through our lives. So we need to keep on trusting in Jesus, even through the challenging times. The message of God's kingdom doesn't come on a one-off occasion. It is a continuous thing. And as the psalmist discovered, we need to wait on God rather than trying to depend on ourselves or on worldly resources. We need to keep on following Jesus. Keep on obeying him when life is tough and when things are not the way we had expected or even hoped. And it's as we keep on obeying Jesus, as we keep trusting in him for everything, that we grow in our faith and that our lives are transformed and begin to produce fruit. In verse 23, we read that Jesus said, "The seed that is sown in the good soil stands for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit, some as much as 100, others 60, and others 30. Now, in this explanation of the parable, Jesus didn't go on to specify what the fruit actually is. But it's clear from the context of the story that the fruit is a life that's been transformed by the Holy Spirit. That transformation begins in our heart. It's an inward transformation, but it has an outward effect. As we allow Jesus to reign in our life, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, as we choose to follow and obey him in everything, so our inner life is transformed. We become more like Jesus, reflecting his character and living by his values. Our hearts and our motivations and our attitudes begin to mirror his. And that inner transformation is revealed as we live every day radically following him. Now, that fruit that Jesus speaks about can be seen in a number of ways. The fruit includes the fruit of the Spirit that you can read about in Galatians chapter 5. These are the characteristics that the Holy Spirit produces within us as we allow Jesus to reign. The fruit includes the gifts of the Spirit, which we begin to use to enable us to minister as God has called each one of us to do. The fruit includes living in a way that is radically following Jesus, following the values of his kingdom. And the outward transformation has ethical, religious, relational, emotional, and economic dimensions. It impacts every aspect of our life. It is possibly, but not exclusively, best summed up by Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But at its heart, it is a life that simply reflects Jesus and the change that he's brought to our lives. Part of the fruit is also seen as we also sow the seed of God's kingdom in the lives of others. It's just a part of the fruit, and I want to mention it, and I know other commentators have said that the fruit is based on continuing God's message. I believe the main fruit is the inner transformation. But one dimension of that is seen as we continue God's mission. Jesus has called every believer to share the good news. We each have a responsibility to sow that seed. And having sown it, we need to trust in God for the results. Now, there are two things I want to mention about this. Firstly, it's really encouraging that we can trust in God for the results once we've shared his message. Because we know that what happens next is not our responsibility. We know from the parable of the sower, Jesus received a mixed response to his message. And the same will be true of us. Some people will reject the message, like the seed that fell on the path. Others will hear it and receive it, but it may take a long time to grow. We may never know the impact that our words have had, but that doesn't matter. We just need to be faithful in sharing the message. That's what God's called us to do. But having said that, I don't believe that sharing the good news with an individual is a one-off act. It's not like you tell a person about Jesus and then you say, there you go, God, I've done my bit, now the rest is up to you. Words are important, but so are actions. And often people need to see the message of Jesus lived out as well as hearing it. You know, especially in our world today, where so many people know nothing of the truth of Jesus, and where their experience of love and goodness is worlds apart from the love that Jesus faithfully offers us. We need to be prepared not just to speak out the good news once, but to journey with people, helping them through their rocky and thorny times, so that they can still see the reality of Jesus, so that they have the strength to keep on trusting in him. Just as our ongoing growth is a process, so our outward ministry in sharing God's kingdom is also an ongoing act and not a one-off event. So I want to encourage you this morning to keep on trusting in Jesus, to keep on listening to him and obeying his will more and more in your lives every day. Hold on to him, even through the challenging times, and trust in his promises. Because even though it doesn't look like it now, one day life will be different when his kingdom comes in full. And as you continue to obey him and follow his will every day, you can actually expect your lives to be transformed as a result of the life-giving power of the message of God's kingdom. Allow God to work within you. Allow him to bring that transformation to your heart, and the fruit will be evident in your life. Let's take a moment of silence to reflect on God's word to us, and then we'll pray together. Loving God, we thank you that your heart's desire is that we know you, that we know your love for us, and that we follow you because you have the best plans for us, better than we can ever know or dream or imagine. Lord, thank you that you don't want to make things complicated. You just want us to listen to you and know you more, to follow you, to teach us how to live, and allow you to bring that transformation. Lord, I pray for those of us today that are feeling like we are on that rocky ground where life is not how we imagined it to be, where the troubles seem so tough that your promises seem so far away. Lord, give us the strength, like the psalmist, to wait on you, to hold on to you. And Lord, please lift us out of that pit. Place our feet on a rock. Help us to follow your footprints and to know your transforming power within our lives. Lord, help us when each of us are distracted by other things, and when we consider leaning on our own resources and not on you. Lord, help us to make your kingdom our priority. And Lord, as we learn to trust you more, help us to put your words into practice, to live every moment of every day by your kingdom's values, to allow your fruit to grow in our lives as we are transformed, and as we see others brought into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.